Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. And once again today, we're going to take up the readings we're given at Mass, at least the first reading, anyway, from Colossians chapter 1, verse 1 through 8. We're celebrating the memorial of St. Gregory the Great, Pope and Doctor of the Church. Over the last couple of days, Monday, Tuesday, we took up the gospel reading of Monday, Jesus in the synagogue, where he stands up reading the Isaiah scroll to his friends and neighbors. It was in his old neighborhood. And that beautiful passage where he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to bring good news to the poor." And Jesus is telling his friends, "I'm the fulfillment of this messianic promise." So there was a lot that happened in that moment that we talked about on Monday. If you didn't have a chance to listen to the program, I encourage you to go ahead and listen to it. I think you'll be encouraged and built up by it. And then Jesus leaves the synagogue and he begins his mission. And Luke gives us almost immediately the first account of, as Jesus preaches the power of the kingdom, who he is, what happens is a demon speaks through a man who's been possessed by this devil, and the devil, you could tell the devil's afraid of Jesus, and he declares, he confesses out loud, this demon, that Jesus is the Holy One of God. So you see, as we talked about yesterday, the reality of the spiritual battle that's in the world. Right? There's such things as angels in the kingdom of heaven that have work to do. St. Michael the Archangel, Gabriel, we all have guardian angels. This invisible world is as real as the world we inhabit. But then we see also the fallen angels, the demonic spirits that make their way into the lives of human beings through one doorway or another. It's talked about the other day. And the authority of Jesus by the word of his command, even though this man was totally enslaved by the word of command, boom, he drove them out. And he's showing exactly what he said would happen in his mission as the anointed of God, as the Messiah, the man filled with the Holy Spirit and walking in the authority of the kingdom. He drives out the demonic powers. Jesus is here to bring down the kingdom of darkness. He's not here just to improve the world, so to speak. He's here to get to the bottom of the fundamental issue that faces the human race. Come out of darkness, come out of sin, come out of the kingdom of darkness, and enter into the kingdom of the beloved Son of God. So today, now we're getting the reading from Colossians. It's the very beginning of the letter. And what we see is what the kingdom looks like. And this is now Paul writing a letter to a community of young believers who've come into faith. They've come into the kingdom. They've come out of a life of darkness. And Paul really articulates, as he does often at the beginning of letters, what he's celebrating, what he's seeing, what the kingdom looks like now in their lives. He's celebrating that the very gospel and the very ministry that Jesus began continues, and it's going forward. And he's acknowledging it, and he's celebrating. It's quite beautiful. So Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the holy ones and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. So Paul's a good shepherd. He's praying for his brothers and sisters. He begins by thanking God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. No one confesses that Jesus is Lord without the help of the Father, the help of the Holy Spirit. And so Paul is rejoicing in the fact that the Father is honoring the Son, that the kingdom indeed is going forward, and these people are coming into new life in Jesus and entering the family of God, entering the kingdom. He said, "For we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the holy ones because of the hope reserved for you in heaven." What do we see here? What we see Peter and others do at the beginning of letters often, reminding us what is the foundation of this new life in the kingdom that we've been brought into: faith, hope, and love. And of course, the greatest of these is love. And so the faith he has in Christ Jesus, this is the faith that John the Apostle will say at one point, I think his first letter, he says, the faith that we received and we walk in is the faith that overcomes the world. We are overcomers. We've conquered now the powers that are in this world and the resistance that's in the world to recognizing the kingdom of God. And we're no longer subject to the judgment that the world is under because of its rebellion. We've now been brought out of the kingdom of this world and brought into the kingdom of our beloved Son. And so it comes as a result of confessing Jesus as Savior, acknowledging their sins, entering the waters of baptism, having been given the life of the Holy Spirit, and entering the people of God, among the holy ones, as he would say here. So faith is the starting point. They came to saving faith in Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit given to them in their baptism animates them with the love that's in Jesus, the love that's being poured out, the glory of God, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so they've been given a new power, a new capacity to do what? Paul's recognizing, not only to love God, but to love all the holy ones, to love the brethren. Friends, we're called to love everybody that God brings into our lives, whether they're in the church or not in the church. God loves everyone. But there are distinctions made in the scripture. Paul's talking here about the holy ones. He's talking about other brothers and sisters now, men and women who've come into faith and entered the family of God. And there's a special love, a special way in which we're meant to be united to them in a way we're not united to others. We're always meant to will the good of every single human person because God does that. God desires it for them. God desires them to be in the family of God, in the kingdom of God. But Paul's making a distinction here. And then he said, because we're walking in faith, we're filled with love, and we're able to engage what we're called to do now in the new life in the family of God, and we have a new power in the Holy Spirit that animates us not with only with faith, but also with hope, with a deep assurance that all the promises of God will be fulfilled. And they're being fulfilled in our lives, not because of something we've accomplished, but because of what the Lord is doing in us. And friends, it can be really easy to read these readings and not internalize it, or be even willing to ask ourselves or experience the need to ask ourselves, what is my faith, hope, and love like? I mean, is it alive in me? Are these gifts, these theological virtues given to us at baptism, strengthened in the sacraments, and especially in confirmation, are these spiritual gifts? Am I aware of God's working in my life? What is the state and the condition of my own faith? Have I on Sunday, if I come to Mass, I articulate the creed, and part of what faith means is I say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. So we say, yes, I believe. But the deeper question then that follows from it is, have I radically entrusted my life to him, the one to whom I confess? Am I walking the walk? Have I come to the point that Jesus invites us again and again, we see it in the Gospels, to come to, where we've denied ourselves, I'm no longer the master of my life. I'm not in charge anymore. I'm not the owner of my own life, so to speak. I belong to another. I belong to God. And now I'm a member. I live in the family of God, the body of Christ. And his work is now unfolding in me. Am I living in that awareness? And am I each day, Lord, take me deeper to trust you in everything? You know, St. Francis de Sales, I read this every morning as a reminder. St. Francis de Sales talks about following the footsteps of Jesus. Jesus said, I'm meek and I'm humble of heart. And he says, well, what does humility look like? Two ways he described it. More can be said about it. But what he said in this case, he said, humility includes mistrust of self and total confidence in God. Mistrust of self. That is that fallen dimension of our lives, our interior life, our flesh, our ego, that keeps us sort of enthroned in authority at the center of my life. I'm the one who steers my life. I'm the one who sets its priorities. I'm still in charge. And the sales is very clear. Don't trust that anymore. And trust your whole life to God. Follow Jesus, who's meek and humble of heart. He's gentle, filled with love, and he's poured out in us this faith and love in the gift of the Holy Spirit, which gives us the assurance of hope. We want to be able to fulfill all of God's purposes for us in this world and some of the dreams we have and the tasks we've set our hand to. We want to be successful in raising families and running businesses and you name it. Our life could end today. Are we ready to die to meet the Lord? Well, one of the ways we can have some sense of confidence in that is, am I living in faith, hope, and love? Am I walking with a sense of security and confidence that if I put my trust in God and following Jesus and obeying him and yielding my heart to the presence and power of the Spirit, walking by the Spirit. Remember when St. Paul said to be Christian, one way to describe it is to walk by the Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit that brings us these beautiful gifts of faith, hope, and love, which are the foundation of what it means to be a Christian and live our lives. So Paul is rejoicing because he can see the foundation stones, you could say, the foundations of the Christian life alive in these new converts and those who've come to the Lord. He goes on to say, of this you have already heard through the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. Where did they learn this from, this new way of life and the reality of who Christ is? Where did they, what was the means by which they had access to Christ Jesus, anointed Savior? You know, he called it faith in Christ Jesus. Another way you could look at that is faith in Christ, which means anointed, the Messiah, the Holy Spirit, one of the themes we're talking about here this week. Faith in the anointed one, Christ, Jesus, Savior. You've put your trust in the Savior to save you. And you know the power of the Holy Spirit at work in your life because your life has begun to change. You've got a new heart. You're getting a renewed mind. You're living with a community of brothers and sisters whose priorities have been turned upside down. And we're all now following after the one who's building his kingdom. He said, just as in the whole world it is bearing fruit and growing, so also among you. Paul is saying these fundamental fruits and fundamental graces are working in you. I see it in, Paul said, it's making its way around the world, but I see it in you, and he's rejoicing. He said, from the day you heard it, the good news about Jesus, and came to know the grace of God in truth, as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow slave, who is a trustworthy minister of Christ on your behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. Friends, in our marriages, in our family life, our parishes, and our diocese, can this be said about us? Do we share that love in the Spirit? Is the Spirit in the conversation? Is Jesus in the conversation in our relationships? That's part of why the church presents us these beautiful readings. This is the normal Christian life, and the Lord calls each of us to step more deeply into it. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future. And it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.